Blog Talk Radio.
Now listening live to IFA Wednesdays with the Divine Prince.
by Zakir. All is truly and indeed a blessing.
Mardi Gras, but those who truly and indeed know
understand that there are actually two events going on simultaneously, and that is Mardi Gras and Carnival. And Carnival follows and keeps within the traditions of traditional indigenous American as well as African masquerading. This is what produced the Mardi Gras Indians. This is what produced the baby dolls. This is what produced the skeletons, which arrived at the crack of dawn on Mardi Gras Day to teach and reinforce the very same lessons that the Egungun and the Gelede in West Africa come to teach and share during masquerade. Mardi Gras Day, the culmination of Carnival, if you will, this year is coming a little bit early. It'll be February 12th. But you still have time to plan, to make your way. And indeed, if you are in need of lodging, I have several contacts here in the city. Some beautiful antebellum mansions available for lodging for such events as this. And, of course, it doesn't end for us until mid-March and St. Joseph's Day. So I haven't been broadcasting every day. I've only been doing Ifa Wednesday. A great deal of my time has been overwhelmingly consumed with beading, sewing, and sequencing, which is a part of the tradition of not only being a Mardi Gras Indian, but being a Maroon. I'm actually a Maroon Mardi Gras Indian, Guardians of the Flame Maroon Society. And a great deal of the tradition is recreating your suit every year from scratch and on hand. So indeed, I've been really preoccupied with that. But I am here, as well as Baba Ifa Sakin, to share with you and for you a word of Ifa here today. And we both invite you to listen in and call in the area code 347-215-8967. And when you are ready with your question, comment, or request, do press the number one on your telephone keypad, and we will be more than happy to assist you. Baba Ifa Sakin Baboni. Alafia, Baba, are you with me? Okay, let's try. Baba. Okay, there you are. Okay, there you are. Peace and blessings.
Ashe. Greetings to you, Brother Ty, and to our listening audience. I pray you and everyone else is doing very well. I want to first give thanks to Olodumare, without whom nothing at all would be possible, nothing at all would exist. Give thanks to Orumila Ifa for wisdom and guidance. Give thanks to Eshu, who is the guardian of the crossroads, who can direct us in the proper way and who will keep the Ajogun, all misfortune, away from us, provided that we do as we are supposed to do. I give thanks to Obatala, whose day this is in the traditional Ifa worship cycle, and also to Egungun, who share this day with Obatala. Egungun, as we know, those are the spirits of our ancestors. And, you know, when we're talking about traditional things going on, it's very important that the importance of our ancestors cannot be emphasized more. I mean, this is our traditions are based on what our ancestors did and what was given to them by God, by Olodumare. We have to carry on tradition. And as many people who are on Facebook may have seen, and it's a saying that I saw somewhere else, and I posted it as the banner on my Facebook page, that to go back to tradition is the first step forward. And that's a theme that I want all of our listeners to keep in mind, that to go back to tradition is the first step forward. We cannot move forward effectively if we are not fully aware of where we have been, if we don't have a foundation to push off from. So it's very, very important that we acknowledge our ancestors and our traditions. I broke away from my giving thanks. I want to, of course, give thanks to my own ancestors and all of our ancestors who have helped to bring us to where we are now. It's their shoulders that we stand upon, and it is their traditions that will carry us forward, Ashe. I want to give thanks to my biological family, my parents, my brother, my extended family, my wife, my children. And I want to give thanks to the families of all who are listening. We need families in order to build communities. You need communities to build a nation. So we must always give thanks for our family. Even if your family members are not people who you might be particularly fond of, even if you come from a home where you were unfortunately abused in some way, you still carry the bloodline of your ancestors. And although you may see evil in your parents, not every parent before that one could have been evil, because then the bloodline would not have survived. You today carrying this bloodline of your ancestors, regardless of what your parents did, you have the opportunity as you live today to cleanse your family through your own actions. You have the opportunity today to uplift your ancestors and to improve the image of your family name through your actions, through the things you do, through the way you carry yourself every day in life. Ashe. I want to give thanks to the people of my spiritual lineage in Oshogbo, Nigeria, my Oluo Chief Ifasolo Onifade of Oshogbo. He's originally from Ede, lives in Oshogbo. To his father, the Araba of Ede, I give thanks. And to the wives and the children, and to all the Babalawos and their families in Oshogbo who have helped me along the way, I give my sincere thanks, Ashe. And, of course, I give thanks to the earth. The earth is the source of everything we need. Olodumare and his divine wisdom has made the earth up of everything that we need to sustain ourselves in life. Give thanks to all of the Mariashi. Also want to give thanks to all of the Orisha, all of the Arumale, who come forward to help us in life from time to time as we need. And we must understand that their power, their Ashe, is there for us to help us so that we may live good lives and so that we may be protected from evils. Ashe, Ashe, Ashe.
Ashe, and indeed, you know, what you just said sort of mirrors what was in my spirit this morning in terms of change. We seem to be under a climate of change right now at every level. I want to take a moment to mention that our guest is not with us online from Nigeria. I'm not sure exactly what's going on. He's not online either. Baba Elo Bionboon may not be with us today, but we have several callers on the phone lines with their hands raised, and I will go to the phone line at some point momentarily, so please do bear with me. But I think it's important that we, particularly now, embrace the changes necessary for our own evolutionary process. I think we really, particularly in this culture, made change out to be something of a negative. And as I've said many times before, change doesn't mean not honoring tradition. But change is about being flexible, particularly in the learning process. You have to be flexible in the learning. You have to be able to make mistakes and learn from your mistakes and recover and move on to the next lesson in order to grow, in order to evolve spiritually. But we're seeing change, as we often do with any transition in society, in culture. And I particularly like to think of industry, because we're supposedly in the industrial world, and that has played, technology has played a major part in our transitioning, whether we're ready for it or not. I'm sure cars had some profound impact on society that I'm not old enough to sort of be able to mark in the same way, but I am old enough to have been alive before the computer era, when video games were still out, when pinball machines were still out, and to be able to see more subtle, more spiritual transformations take place, and how people and societies and groups and cultures act that out when it's time to move on to the next thing, when it's time to embrace the next level. And often, and particularly in our community, we often embrace that with fear or mark that with fear. And that limits our ability to grow and to accept that, which may very well be for our good, which may very well be useful. If we can first understand that thing, you know, from its most basic component. So even for me at this point in my life, I've happened to embrace change in a very different way than when I was younger. Still understanding tradition, still maintaining my foundation. I'm still not being moved off my square, if you will, but understanding that to be viable in a society, in a world that's really turbulent right now and walking a thin line between order and chaos, it's important that we're flexible enough to learn what we need to learn, to embrace the skills that we need to embrace to continue to be viable moving forward. In our families, in our education, in our security, if you will, and by all means at the economic level. And I think it's important that we no longer continue to sort of separate ourselves, particularly here in the West, from the motherland. We must more than ever now embrace the motherland and redevelop, recultivate those roots and those connections for exchange of material, for exchange of information, for exchange of ashe. I couldn't do what I do right now without my community, and by all means, without Nigeria and their consistent participation in my thought processes and what I do and how I operate. So there's a big, more expansive blessing behind what it is that you're saying, Baba.
Okay. People do need to connect to the motherland, because to get to our roots, and I'm not just talking about finding your family history, I'm talking about finding your spiritual foundation. We've got to connect to the motherland in order to get an untainted education about our spirituality. I hope I don't offend too many people by saying that untainted teaching, but here in the U.S., there are so many mixes of cultures, even mixes of different African cultures, which was deliberately forced upon the enslaved Africans here because they didn't want people of one ethnic group building a strong foundation here. So they dispersed them and mixed them with different African ethnic groups. And because of that, and because of the fact that people were beaten and tortured for trying to hold on to their indigenous culture from Africa, we have new traditions, so to speak, which were created. And some of the stories were changed, some of the basic ideas have been changed. Now, I'm not knocking the traditions here of hoodoo and candomblé and lukumi, because really to hold on to what they have, what they managed to hold on to, and to work out ways to compensate for things that they lost by being tortured and beaten and having a foreign faith forced upon them, it's truly an amazing feat how any group of people can hold on to even a piece of their culture and build on it. It is amazing, and it is a tremendous accomplishment that is not to be downplayed at all. But still, in order to go back to the true origins, we need to connect with Africa. And in Africa, what I found, and what I know many other people have found, is that there is more of a sense of unity, more of a sense of oneness, regardless of where you came from, regardless of whether you came up in a Lukumi house, Candomblé, or anything else. In Africa, what they firmly believe is that Ifa is Ifa. It doesn't matter what group you were in specifically. And if you are acting according to what you honestly believe and what you know, you haven't thought any different, there's nothing seriously wrong there. But you know that you can come into even greater knowledge of the original source. And know that regardless of where you come from, you will be accepted by our brothers and sisters in Africa. As we mentioned in the last show, that there's this idea that Africans don't accept Americans. And it's just not true. You go over there and you're welcomed with open arms. Now, I have to admit, if you go anywhere in the world with the idea that being American makes you high and mighty, makes you better than any others, you're not going to be received.
And, Baba, let me say this real quick, because it doesn't even have to be that conscious. Because when you put things out like that, you know, folks, oh, well, that's not me. Oh, well, I don't act that way. But I think it's very easy when you're too close to something, even yourself, to not notice certain things about your behavior, about your energy, about how you approach things. I've noticed that in terms of the large group of us that are coming out of the church and are coming out of Islam and are coming out of some of these other groups that have deeply embedded themselves into our community. But breaking that thinking is harder than making the change, making the transition, to a point that they don't even realize that they're still analyzing at the conscious level or the unconscious level through that old cipher, and that you've got to completely put that old pattern, that old way of doing things, that old way of thinking and processing down to truly go back and embrace the mindset of our people on the continent. I don't ever expect us to be the same because we've been indoctrinated differently here than they have there. But my experience, to sort of piggyback on what you said, has almost always been positive. And I haven't been to the continent yet. I'll be going to a Super Bowl this year for the first time. But they've always embraced me, even on the phone, even in email, even online. So I think there are other forces at work that are deeply ingrained in the Western psyche and the Western mindset that help us to maintain fear. The latest thing is the Nigerian fraud. Most of you don't know where that email is coming from. You don't even know if it's coming from Nigeria. But we've stamped Nigeria on it. So now anytime you get an odd email, we automatically, without processing it, think back to Nigeria. And it's not fair. And Baba tends to take a more humble approach than I do. But I'm going to say what he didn't say. Many of you don't have an idea of what the rest of the world thinks about Americans. While we're putting up our guard and thinking that we're, you know, on some plateau, we have a lot of negative things that we have to work out with the rest of the world, too, in terms of stereotyping and how folks view us. So there's change that has to be made on both sides of the ocean.
So true. And as far as the image that Americans have in other parts of the world, we get to realize, regardless of how righteous and free we think we are as a nation, the United States, since World War II, and perhaps quite a bit since World War I, but more since World War II, this nation has put itself in the position of policing the world. And policing the world, we have often been the bullies of the world. Our government tries to whitewash that and publicized in the news, you know, how we're the good guys going to the rescue. But it's really not such a rosy picture. And our nation has gone into other nations to go and fight when it's to our advantage, not when it's to really just help somebody. So we are the bullies, we are the opportunists of the world. And this is often what people will think of Americans and the United States when we go somewhere. You know, people have the idea in their head that, here's another American thinks he can run things. But if you are conscious of that whole thought pattern of the idea of the United States being the police of the world and the bullies of the world, and Americans constantly wanting to run things wherever they go, if you keep that in mind and really keep in mind that you as a person do not want to portray that image when you go abroad, and you make the effort, the conscious effort, to exercise humility, in most cases you will be well received. And in Africa specifically, I can almost guarantee you'll be well received, especially in sub-Saharan Africa. Now, if you go into some areas of North Africa where it's been war torn and they've been at odds with the United States, it may not be quite so easy. However, like I said, sub-Saharan Africa, you will usually be very well received, and I know for a fact in Nigeria you'll be very well received. As Prince Ty noted, that a lot of times we assume that there's trouble with Nigerians because of the Nigerian scams that are going on all over the place on the internet, all that. And he mentioned that, you know, we don't even know that some of this stuff originates from Nigeria. Now, I take the time to investigate things, especially when I see, like, a lot of spam emails coming to me that look very similar. So I'll go and view the full header of the email and try to trace at least what country it's coming from. A lot of things that are made to look like Nigerian scams are coming out of India. And mm-hmm. also out of Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, they're just capitalizing on the widespread news of Nigerian scams.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can jump on a bandwagon and say, hey, we're not going to get caught. They're going to blame it on the Nigerians. And so not every scam that you may see going on, not every email spam you get requesting some kind of help for some big financial matter or anything, not every one of those is actually coming out of Nigeria. And really the Nigerian government is cracking down heavily on that. So if you do some investigation, you'll find less and less of these scams are coming out of Nigeria and more are coming out of other areas.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great increase on these emails coming out of India. And India is one of the so-called trusted nations because, I mean, we all know in the IT field, And in medicine, all the sciences, we have a lot of people from India working here in the United States. And the United States goes to India to recruit these people. So the education, the technology that they have, the United States trusts them with it. The U.S. businesses trust them with that knowledge and that technology.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy then for them to take advantage of it in a harmful way toward us. And usually the harm is in our finances.
Bob, I just want to step in real quick, too, and say that our co-host from Nigeria has actually been trying to call in. All of our lines are full, so he has been having a difficult time trying to get through on the line. Give me just a second. Let me make sure we got him online.
Okay.
Baba Adeniyi, are you online with us? Okay, his call dropped. Okay, let me try this line.
He's having some trouble with the lines, too. Sometimes you can have
something funny going on. Eric, we're calling and where are you calling from? Eric, 404, who's calling and where are you calling from?
Greetings, this is Ashalemi. I'm in Fayetteville, North Carolina,
Alafia. You had your hand raised. How can we help you today?
Yes, I was calling in. I was your second guest for, I was just letting you know I was on the line.
Sure. How can we help?
I was calling in to tell you about the 2013 Conference on Community, Family, and Marriage whenever you're ready.
Sure, go ahead. Your line is open.
Alafia, greetings, everyone. This is Osha Randy Alote. I'm from Omo Duduwa Radio. First of all, your ancestors, and thank you both for allowing me to come on and talk about the 2013 Conference on Community, Family, and Marriage, which will be happening in Fayetteville, North Carolina, on April 5th, 6th, and 7th of April 2013. We are having a three-day full of events that is honoring, celebrating, healing, and building our families, our marriages, and as well as our communities. The conference, all the conference information is on our website at www.ooradio.com. That's www.ooradio.com. We have information about vending. We have information about sponsoring, being a sponsor, as well as advertising and attending the event. We have directions on the website. We have the schedule on the website and all of the information that is going on. We have started our media campaign. We have been sharing this information since about August of last year. Some of our featured facilitators will include from The Last Poets, Abiodun Oyewole, Wellness Coach Queen Afua, BlackLoveAndMarriage.com founders, Aize and Iyana Ma'at, Egbe.
Okay, beloved, are you still with us? Okay, Baba Ifasakin, are you still with us?
I'm here.
Okay, something really weird is going on. And I'm still not seeing Adeniyi. And he's sent me a message on Facebook that he's tried to call in two or three times. So I think I'm going to have to shoot a message to Blog Talk Radio and find out what's going on with our switchboard. And we certainly appreciate you calling in, beloved. We most certainly would welcome you to come on to Ifa Wednesday before today in your advertisement, but we most certainly do appreciate you and the listening audience. We realize a lot of people a lot more people than admit to it listen to our show on E5 Wednesday, and we certainly do appreciate each and every one of you and your continued participation. All of you out there listening who have Block Talk Radio shows, you understand technical difficulties in Block Talk Radio. So I'm not going to eat up a whole lot of time ranting about the technical stuff. But I'm going to see if I can get a message through and see if I can figure out what's going on with the phone lines. And it may be that we are having more callers in, Baba, than we're used to. I think depending on your premium package, they only facilitate a certain number of callers live into your show. And every line right now is full. Every line is full. And a few people have dropped, and a few more have added. So it just may be that we need to increase the number of callers that we can have during the show.
And of course, in order to do that, that requires additional funding. So I would encourage our listeners, if you feel that you do benefit from this show, E5 Wednesdays on the Power Lunch with Divine Prince Ty Emeka, please do contact him about sending in a donation. I think he may have a spot on his website where you can send in a donation. If not, I'm sure he'll arrange it so that we can better accommodate the number of callers and the number of people who want to call in. We do appreciate your effort and your participation, and we are truly thankful for everybody who calls in and everybody who listens. This lets us know that, you know, what we're doing is being well received, and just gives us more drive to keep our efforts going. Ashe,
we're going to take just a brief intermission and see if we can do something about what's going on with the phone lines, and then we will be forward momentarily with more of E5 Wednesdays here on Block Talk Radio. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Congo Square. The Omus Indians prepared this place for us centuries before our arrival. A sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. The Omus Indians prepared this place for us centuries before our arrival. Congo Square, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. And as the colonizers came, our host, the Omus Indians, they pushed aside our host. The colonizers came and pushed aside our host and introduced us in chains. And by the late 1700s, we somehow, recognizing the sacredness of Les Places de Congo, we somehow, and the how of our somehow persuasive methodologies is not clear at this moment. The how is not clear. How our persuasive methodologies worked is not clear at this moment, but nevertheless, even as slaves, we crafted and created a space where we could be free to be we. And thusly we countered the sacrilegiousness of the French, giving great homage to our ancestors as well as giving praise and thanks to our red-blooded brothers and sisters. This is an oral libation toast to Congo Square, to Native Americans, to our ancestors who made a circle out of a square and gave us a way to stay ourselves, save ourselves from the transformatory ugliness of America, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life. Which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life and celebrates death with crosses and crosses, double and triple crosses, the middle passage, the first cross, Christianity, the double cross, and capitalism, the ultimate triple coup de grace cross of our captivity. But the terror of crosses notwithstanding, we sang. We beat, we be, we was and is. Hail Congo Square, Congo, Congo Square. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us, inside the beat of us. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us until we are ready to release them into a world that we recreate, a world heralded by the beat, be, beat, being, beating, being of black heart drums, heart beat, heart beat. Heart be at this place be heart be we beating place in new world space, beating being in place in new world, preserving our ancient pace. Our dance is the God walk, our music the God talk. First thing we do, let's get together, circle ourselves into community. No beginning, no end, connected together and singing, ringing, singing in a ring. Second, let's be original, aboriginal, be what we were before we became what we are. Be Bambula dance, be Banza music, and sing song words which have no English translation. Third, let us remember. Let us remember never to forget, even when we can't remember the specifics. We must retain the essentials. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. The bounce, the blood flow, the feel, the spirit grow, energy. Must retain and pass on the essential usness that others want to dissipate, whip out of us.
Whoa.
But no matter, no matter how much of us they prohibit, no matter how much of us they prohibit, deep inside us is us. Deep inside us is us. Remains us inside and needs only the beat to set us free. The beat to free us. It is morning, a sun day, a field without shade, but dark, dark with the people black of us in various shades, eclipsing the sun with our elegance. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to be, to be. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. Beat Congo Square. Be Congo Square. Beat, be. Beat, be. Beat,
so.
Congo Square. Beat, Congo Square.
Ashe, 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 we indeed are humbled and honored by each and every one of you, and all of you who are still present on the phone lines. We're truly humbled by the outpouring of support and listenership to the show. We invite you to participate, and not just participate when you want to advertise something for yourself, but to participate in the meat, in the meal, in the buffet that is the show, that is IFA Wednesdays. Understand, we have stats. We know people are listening to the show. We have the graphs. We have the numbers. I can almost tell you where many of you are listening from right now. But when I ask you to call in, when I ask you to participate, when I ask you to support, we get silence. Unless you want to self-promote. And we have got to readjust that in our community. If we're ever going to move forward, some of you may remember I posted yesterday, after a conversation very similar to this, that I survive on my community, period. I don't have a college degree. I'm not well connected. I don't have a lot of money. I'm on disability. Hello? Okay? But I managed to pay for the show. I managed to pay from all the outlets that many of you utilize to connect with me, to connect with Baba Ifa Sakin, to connect with the worldwide Ifa community that I am connected to. And some of you wouldn't offer me a quarter if you saw me starving on the side of the road. And we have got to readjust that. We have got to readjust that. That is not village consciousness. That is not ATR consciousness. It's not Ifa. It's not Lakomi. It's not Santeria. It's not Palo. It's not Voodoo. It's not Hoodoo. It's not anything that our ancestors would have accepted. And until we make that adjustment, we are still going to see the things happening in our communities that we are that we're seeing now. We're going to continue to see the statistics. We're going to continue to see the hearses roll. We're going to continue to see people come down with diseases they don't have to come down with ailments that they don't have to deal with, all because we won't step outside of ourselves or somebody else. And that's community. If anyone is paying attention, that is 95% of what I do. I'm not bombarding you with spam every day. I'm not Miss Cleo, call me now. I'm not posting my keen, my life person, my destal, my website on your pages. uninvited. I'm not sending you chain mail, chain letter of advertisements about what I do. And I still manage to do what I do because my community supports me, because I support them. And that is a relationship that Baba Ifa Sakin and I have and are now trying to share with the greater community. We've got to come together at a different place, at a different time, in a different mindset. As we said just before the break, many of us are calling ourselves doing something black, and we're still doing it with the Western mindset. We're still doing it with a mean mind, with an ego-based foundation, and then we're angry when someone else is blessed. We're upset when someone else does something that we think, well, I should have did that. I could have did that. Mine is better than that. So grow yours and grow it with the community. But it's not as long as we stay stuck in this westernized sense of me and mine. It's the same mentality that many of our preachers have. Eddie Long just crowned himself king, okay, after all that scandal, and you all still support him. You all still stand behind him and mock those of us who are in the trenches, who are at the grassroots level every day, struggling to do what we do successfully, because I don't want it to end with the struggle, struggling but successfully doing what we do with a handful of committed people, with a dozen full of committed people and Olo Demare. Because that which God bless, no man can curse. That which God bless, that which Olo Demare bless, no man can curse. With no amount of back talk, with no amount of gossip, with no amount of lies, with no amount of propaganda, that which God establishes, no man can curse. So we've got to get back to the community. We have got to get back to the grassroots level. We've got to get back to worrying about somebody else other than ourselves. Baba Ifa Sakin should be at home with his family, with his children, with his grandchildren. And he's on the road right now trying to bring Ifa to your city, because some of you ain't going to come down here to us. We get that. So Baba's willing to make that travel, you know, that I'm not willing to do. You're welcome to come to New Orleans. I'm not coming back to Chicago right now. I'm sorry. I can't do it. Baba, are you with me?
I'm with you. And you definitely don't want to go to Chicago in the winter anyway. Not after becoming accustomed to being in New Orleans. Right now, I'm going through a little bit of a shock being in New York and the temperatures in the mid-30s and going down into the 20s at night. Last night I was out and it was freezing rain. It wasn't comfortable at all, but I'm doing it. I'm here. And as you may know, tomorrow night I'm going out to Rockaway Beach, where they were hit very badly by Hurricane Sandy. And I'm going out on the beach. There will be some people joining me. Going out on the beach to pray for that community. That particular community has a great personal value for me because I grew up there. But as you know from your experience in New Orleans, the governments generally take care of the areas that they want to take care of, and there's some areas that are the forgotten areas. in New Orleans is the Ninth Ward. Here in New York is Rockaway. And the Rockaway Peninsula suffered badly. And, you know, you don't hear it on the national news so much. I understand it is on local news here some. But, you know, there are still people who cannot get into their houses because the house is so water damaged. There are people struggling, pulling together every last dime they have to fix their roofs and their siding in their house. I took a drive out there the other night just to look around and, you know, to see siding and roofing hanging off the houses. And some houses are abandoned because nobody can live there now. Nobody can afford to fix it up. The insurance companies are giving these people a lot of trouble. I'm going out there tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. I will be on the beach at Beach 84th Street. And I'm going to pray. People can join me. It doesn't matter what your faith is. The thing is, we need to come together and pray for new life, new prosperity, and great full recovery for Rockaway and all the areas that have been hit by Hurricane Sandy, where people are still suffering the effects. And this is something that we need to do as people. We need to come together. We need to pray for the people who are suffering. Prince Ty, you mentioned just a few minutes ago about you know, people wanting to just promote themselves and promote what they're doing, and, you know, it's money for them and things like that. This isn't something I'm doing to toot my own horn. Like I said, I have a personal connection to Rockaway because I grew up there. This is something in my soul I feel I need to do. And bringing people together is something that we all need to put effort into. And this prayer session in Rockaway is nothing that anybody is making any money off of. To go out there, I'm spending money for gas and tolls, because I'll probably be going over the Cross Bay Bridge. I'm spending my time and money to go and do this, and this isn't, you know, to benefit me. This is to benefit the people who live there. This is to benefit the businesses that are struggling to recover. This is to benefit the land there. And we're getting together to pray. That's it. This isn't about self. This is about selflessness. This is about really just doing the right thing.
And we understand that here in the West. We think we understand that. And I'm not suggesting that anyone is necessarily being deceptive. But the fact of the matter is, we've been numbed in the West. We've been numbed in this culture. We've been numbed in Europe. We've been numbed in parts of Asia where there's wealth and where there's prosperity. And there's some of you listening to me right now that say, well, I'm not wealthy. I'm not rich. I'm not prosperous. But we're in the most prosperous nation on the planet. No matter what level of lack we think that we are dealing with, it is nothing like what they're dealing with in Haiti. It is nothing like what they're dealing with in parts of Nigeria. It is nothing like what other parts of the world are confronted with every single day. And then put war on top of that. Then put famine on top of that. Then put so-called terrorism on top of that. You know, and all we can find is complaints. We have a whole subculture that is based on complaining now. You know, the reality shows have sort of fed it. You know, it goes all the way back to the Ricky Lakes and the Jerry Springers. and a couple of decades of that type of media and pop culture. So we now have a new subculture, a new religion that many of you are participating in every single day, and we know it because you tweet it, you post it, you Instagram it, and we see how unhappy you are. We see how miserable you truly are. You have nothing but the complaint. And the solution is with us. We call ourselves gods and goddesses and priests and prophets. The solution is with us. The only thing blocking that is at the mind level. And going back to our very first Ifa Wednesday show, Baba, you might remember, I said that the theme for this year is going to be the mind game, the mind washing. It's going to be at the mental level because you're not going to be the legislative. Let's look at our weapon. That's why I posted that picture this morning with the machete and the and the spears from Kenya and reminding people of where we came from. You know, okay, so they can't legislate morality. They can't legislate whether people are going to do the right thing or not. So at every level, religious, spiritual, y'all are worried about spiritual and religious, but it's at every level. Your food, your media, your educational system, government, it's at every level. The next step is the mind game. They're going into your head, and they're determining what you think, and how you think, and how you process it. Some of you armchair revolutionaries are regurgitating government material. And you think because you say black enough and African enough that it's yours. And it's regurgitating exactly where they want you to be right now in this time and place. Because you're too consumed with that to be doing anything beneficial, to be doing anything about it, to be doing any preparation, to be doing anything at the grassroots level. Because when you're doing that work, you don't have that kind of extra time. Those who understand what I'm saying, I'm preaching to the choir. Those of you who don't get it, Olo Damari be with you. Because they've got camps waiting. They've got prisons waiting for those who are not going to be able to make that conscious shift. And it's twofold. Everything in this reality is multidimensional. You know, it's not just about the government. It's not just about, you know, COINTEL and all that stuff. But there's something spiritual that's going on also right now. Who are we really going to begin to believe? Because many of us are just regurgitating stuff. Click, like, share, click, like, share. Very few original posts, very few original thoughts, very few original ideas. You don't think the government planned that people wouldn't be able to think in 2013, that people wouldn't be able to create, that people wouldn't have critical thinking skills? Baba, remember when they taught that in college? 101 critical thinking, you know?
Yep. You know, people don't realize what some of the authors of the past were trying to convey. You think about the book 1984. Right, where it was all about the government controlling your thinking and the government staying in control by fear and limiting even what you can think. And we are so close to that, and people don't realize it. We're so, so close to that kind of society. Because the government feeds us information, and we generally believe what they tell us, and we believe what they want us to know. And that type of control, I mean, that is mental enslavement.
And it's not going to be obvious. They're not going to come on TV and say, you know, this is the truth over here and this is the lie over here, and then we'll automatically side with the opposite. You know, there's that counterintelligence where they say one thing that they know is not true, because in your mind you're going to fill in the blanks, and that's what many
right.
of us are doing. It's filling in those blanks with more mishmash and BS, and we're walking blindly right into the trap.
And then
and the people
on
that
top
are worried about
on top of that, the government feeds us information on false conflicts. I mean, puts things out in front as if these are the major issues that are going to bring us up or take us down. And the thing is, that's not the important issue at all. But they have us focus on something that is basically frivolous. Unimportant in the big scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and they basically just have us preoccupied with insignificant things while the government and big businesses are working on the significant things
mm-hmm.
and making sure the significant things go the way they want them. And the people are unaware because they're preoccupied with all the BS, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're preoccupied with all of this crap that doesn't mean a darn thing. And businesses and government are taking care of the real stuff and making sure it's in their favor,
mm-hmm.
not the people's. And we've got to wake up and realize what's going on. We are in a terrible state of mental slavery. And I'll say this goes for everybody, whether you're black, white, Asian, Latino, whatever. Whatever your culture
mm-hmm.
is, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
We are under serious mental enslavement, which is possibly the worst kind of enslavement there is, because your mind is not even your own.
Mm-hmm.
In just physical enslavement where you're forced to work, still you can think. You can make decisions for yourself. You can have access to real facts. Enslavement here in America was both mental and physical. And now the physical enslavement is not allowed, not in the way that it was before. But the mental enslavement is full force. The mental enslavement is reaching farther than the physical enslavement ever did. And people need to wake up and realize that. All right, we are slaves to the information that we are fed. And we've got to break out of that. All right, take, for instance, the matter of gun control laws, which is heavily debated right now, especially in the aftermath of the tragedy up at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Regardless of whether further gun control laws are passed or not, guns will continue to be in the hands of the people that they're in. The people who want to do wrong, who want to go around killing people, will still find ways to get guns. The law is not going to stop them.
That's
regardless of whether further gun control laws pass or not.
Mm-hmm.
And the
people who really control illegal gun trafficking, they're still going to be in control whether gun control laws are passed or not. Right, so having stiffer gun control laws in place isn't going to arm or disarm anybody.
And we've already done this dance before, Baba. When they outlawed alcohol, outlawing marijuana, we've already done this before. All it does is further feed the underground, further feed the black market. But we've been, again, programming how you think about things. We've been programmed to think that when you say underground, when you say black market, that you're talking about criminals and nationals. And it often allows for big business, big corporations, to do the very same thing, but under the guise of law.
Right, right. And, you know, I'm going to refer back to the novel 1984 again, where the government, which was Big Brother, was always broadcasting news of a war that wasn't even taking place. But they had all the people of the nation believing that this terrible war was in place and that they had to support the government and support the military so that they could win this war and stop the enemy. And it was a false enemy. It was a false war. It didn't exist. But the thing is to keep everybody under control by presenting these false crises and you know, just all kinds of things that really didn't exist. And, yeah, that's happening because when you look at it, really, marijuana is a false enemy, right? Because marijuana actually used properly, and in order to use marijuana for medicinal purposes, you do not have to smoke it, regardless of what people think. There are many other things you can do with marijuana that will be beneficial to your body without smoking it, and really help with a lot of different illnesses. Marijuana actually has far more good uses than it does negative, and it is really actually safer than most of the legal drugs that we can buy over the counter, and safer than, I'd probably say, all of the prescription drugs. Alcohol also is a false enemy. It's only the abuse of alcohol that causes problems. Alcohol itself has beneficial properties. It's a proven medical fact that one drink of alcohol is beneficial for your heart and blood. Say one drink a day. Now, I'm not talking about taking 8 ounces of gin. That's a little much. But, you know, like a glass of wine or one shot of gin in a day is helpful to the heart and blood. So alcohol is a false enemy.
Baba, give me just a moment. Baba, are you online? Adnan Yeni, are you with us on the phone?
Yeah, I'm online. I've been trying to. How about you? How are you?
Baba, I didn't see you. Look who's behind. What are you? Baoni, boy.
He's breaking up a great deal.
Yeah, I think this may be a bad day for the phone lines coming from Nigeria. Sometimes you have days where it's just really bad and you can't get a decent call through.
Yeah, we can't hear you now, Baba. We've lost your signal. No, we're not hearing you. We're getting a lot of static and a lot of feedback.
Let me,
we really can't
let me,
hear
you. I will.
If you can, try and call us back. We certainly appreciate you and want to hear a word today from a Sogbo. But we're not hearing you. We're getting a lot of static and a lot of feedback. We can't hear you at all.
Let me call back. Let's try and call back.
Okay. Yeah, that. Wow, that's not good, Baba. And what creates that even now in 2013? I often think about that. Is it the infrastructure in Africa? It's still not able to accommodate, you know, the newer technologies. Or what really is causing that?
Well, one thing is the overseas lines are either going by satellite or they're going by transatlantic telephone lines, which is actually old technology from like World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And the physical technology, they don't have a lot of advancement going on there, you know, with the physical technology and telecommunications. However, when it comes to wireless, they are really they're really up to date with the wireless communications. And I think there's been a lot more focus on wireless communications over there, whereas the wired communication has slipped by the wayside. And the reason is really their environment. I mean, if you've got cities and villages that are, you know, so far spread, and, you know, you have miles and miles of open forest between them, it's far easier to set up a few cell phone towers to cover, you know, large areas than it is to you know, use the wired technology to go around. So then that, it's like, it's almost a natural adaptation for them. So it's easier to take to the wireless technology for them than it is the wired technology. And that's why, you know, you have people in Nigeria who, you know, may have the latest Android or BlackBerry or iPhone, you know, that they're using there, and they've got you know, latest technology with the 4G and GSM phones and all that, but it's just easier to use that in that environment, you know, to set up a few cell towers to cover a large area rather than running the actual telephone wires around. I know my Oluo, he does not have a home telephone, but he's got, I think, two or three cell phone numbers, and he lives way out in the sticks of Oshobo.
Yeah, that's funny, because almost everybody that I know in Nigeria has two or three cell phone numbers.
Yep. And really, I mean, to change phone numbers, all they have to do is swap the SIM card in a phone. They don't always necessarily have, you know, two or three phones, but they can have two or three different SIM cards with, you know, different calling plans. Some people may have one SIM card that they use just for local calling, and then they'll pop in another SIM card with another number, which they use for long distance because, you know, that particular carrier has better long distance rates. You know, if you have two or three cell phone numbers over there, it's very common. And like I said, the wireless technology just lends itself easy adaptation to their environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
back to the really important stuff, which is the mental enslavement of all people, and the wake up call, which unfortunately it doesn't seem like a lot of people are actually hearing. We got to do something to get the word out. We've got to do something to wake people up. And we must come together as human beings to, really help one another to save ourselves from the enslavement and save ourselves from the chaos that is caused by the enslavement.
But how do we do that when people just won't let go? How do you do that? It's like trying to get an alcoholic into recovery who truly enjoys drinking.
The thing with that is, the person who really enjoys drinking is not going to come around. That person is basically going to die drunk unless he or she comes to the realization that, you know, hey, life needs to be more than this. I got to do something different. And so you can't make anybody come around. They have to do it on their own. So in this time of crisis, in this crucial period where we've got to get ourselves out of mental slavery, there are going to be some people who just love the enslavement. They don't want to think for themselves. They believe that, you know, the government tells them the truth all the time. They believe that big business tells them the truth all the time. And they want to believe that, because if they believe otherwise, then that means they have to think of something for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to do that. So, unfortunately, most people...
doing something.
You're breaking up, Prince Ty. I can't hear you as well.
They would have to take responsibility for actually doing something.
Yeah, and they, you know, they are going to go down with the ship. Really, there's nothing else that can be done. They're going to go down with the ship. You know, when serious chaos strikes and governments fall, businesses fall, these people are going to fall with them. Meantime, what we can do is we can keep praying for them, we can keep reaching out to them, but we must realize that we cannot force them. The second that we try to force somebody into something, we become every bit as bad as governments and the businesses who have people in mental slavery now.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot force beliefs on somebody. You cannot force your culture or your way of living on somebody. And that's just plain wrong. We have to sort of meet people where they are and accept people for who and what they are. But at the same time, try to empower them. Let them know that we are here to empower them. Let them know that we are with them. We're going through the struggle with them. And we don't want them to struggle. We don't want anybody to suffer the way they've been suffering. And people need to come together to get out of that suffering. And they need to wake up to get out of that suffering. This is what we need to continue to let people know. And like I said, we can't force it on anybody. And that's the major problem with governments and businesses, is they want to force things on people. My wife was taking she is currently taking courses, working toward a degree in business. And there was a marketing class, and the marketing class, some of the stuff in that class that she was taking was really literally turning my stomach, because it was, you know, all on the way American business markets itself. And there was one assignment where you have to decide the best moves, the best strategic moves to make in order to market a certain product. And one of the major steps was creating a need for your product. Not finding a need and filling it, but creating a need. So in other words, brainwashing people into believing that this is what they must have. They must have your product. It's not finding a need where, you know, people could use an easier way to do this certain thing that people are using is prone to breaking down. Let's work out a way to, make parts for it, to repair it, or to teach people to repair it. Nothing like that. Not filling a need. But brainwashing people and making them think, okay, this is what you need. And, you know, that kind of thing is so infantile, but at the same time so powerful.
And again, I must reiterate, it is not, many people think it's us versus mass media. Many of you in your subculture thoughts and ideas and your YouTube comments, all of that is well engineered by someone else. You're not being original. These messages, these videos, these vibrations are being set out for a specific type of person. They know there's certain people who don't trust the news. They know there's certain people who don't trust the government. They know there's certain people who don't trust anyone that's found some level of success in this culture. So feeding you that information becomes just that much easier. You've subcategorized yourself. You know, they give you the card now, Baba, you know, at your Kroger, at your Winn-Dixie, you know, at your Safeway, you know,
right.
That's supposed to give you the discount when you sign out. But it's also tracking what you buy and what you favor and what you don't
right.
like. And some of those cards, whether you know it or not, are actually tracking you in the store. What department do you spend more time in? What display did you spend more time standing in front of? And what other stuff did you just sort of skip past? And what I'm saying is that is at every level now of society. That's the battle of Armageddon. It's at every level of society. So even in our little elitist, you know, social networking subcultures, you know, all the New Wafians group together, all the Muslims group together, all the revolutionaries group together, you know, all the Yorubas group together. There's someone pulling the strings behind all of that. I know you're not going to trust me in a Muslim faith, so I'm going to come to you in a comedic faith. I know you're not going to trust me in a white faith, so I'm going to come to you in a black faith. And many of you are falling for it. Fall because you're living in your flesh. You're living at the carnal level. It's too hard for you to do the hard work that we all have to do to get serious about consciousness, to get serious about spirituality. But we've become targets to this. And then we play it off each other. So you attack me now. You attack Baba Ifa Sakin now. You know, because we're not following in line behind the prescribed look or the prescribed conversation. And then we say we're liberal and we're free thinking and, you know, we're conscious and we're no longer enslaved. And we're following the technology, as they say.
Right. And you know, one thing really just twists my bolts the wrong way is when I see religion promoted on sites like Facebook in a way where it's like you got to jump on the bandwagon. Like, how many times you see a post on somebody's page that says, I believe Jesus, or I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Like and post on your page if you agree. So then you're like, if you put yourself in the position of a Christian seeing that, you're going to either click like and copy it because that's what you believe, and then at the same time, you don't want to be seen as a heathen, you know, so you're going to click like and post this thing on your page. Or you're not going to do it, and then if a friend has it posted on his or her page, and a friend could ask you, well, hey, how come you didn't click like and post this on your page? You know, so it's like you're forced into doing certain things and forced into thinking a certain way. All right, if you're Christian and you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, fine, that's what you believe. But you don't have to go and prove that to everybody else by clicking on something and liking it. Does that make you more of a believer in Jesus because you want to click on something and click like and post it on your page? No. You can post anything on your page. That doesn't mean that's not an indicator really of who and what you are and what you believe in.
Especially shared material. Sometimes I click like just as an acknowledgement, just to remind myself I've already looked at this. You know, but we've lost. Even when I go back in my mind to the 70s. There was a certain individualism that we had during that time period that was supported probably in many ways by the civil rights movement and the revolutionary movements. There was a certain sense of empowerment that really had people thinking in a more individualized community, but had a more individual, creative feel to it than what you see now. Now we are industrialized. We're prepared for the military. We are prepared for imprisonment. All our kids are wearing the exact same clothes, you know, sometimes the exact same color clothes. And you can't tell one from another. You know, they're looking for a young black male, 18 or 25, you know, with a low haircut. Well, that's everybody, you know, now. You know, there's no real sense of independent thinking. Yet, when we look in social media, when we look at the post and the attitude of some of the posts, we all think that that's what we're doing. You know, let me share that. Ooh, that, and it's not original. And it's probably not even posted, because I've done this myself. It's probably not even posted in the mindset that many people click like to it. And I've tested that. I've posted some things that I had a very clear understanding of what I was trying to say and represent, but didn't attach any words to it. And then you watch the responses, and people will reveal authentically who they are. People will reveal authentically where they are if you're paying attention. But in this culture, you know, we're taught not to pay attention. Don't pay attention too hard. You know, don't judge. You know, don't make, you know, assumptions prematurely. You know, so on the one hand, we're taught absolutely not to think, absolutely not to process anything, but to sort of go along with the accepted understanding. Whether it works well for you or not, another source of illness, dis-ease, stress, doing things that totally are not us, that don't benefit our health, that don't benefit well-being. Many of us are locked into jobs of that nature. I'm not, but many of us are, you know. And I'm grateful to be off that treadmill, if you will. The economic crisis did not scare me as much because I've already created my own economy. And I'm feeding into the economy within my community. And that's one of the things that I love about EFOS is the interaction of so many people and so many ideas, bringing their own, you know, individual craft or their own individual expertise or their own individual specialty to the collective whole, you know.
Exactly. And you know, like something I mentioned in a couple of the previous shows that we did is that in the Yoruba Ifa culture, the way it is practiced in Nigeria, and unfortunately you don't see that so much here, we involve different priests in our practices. And in the ceremonies that we do, because we call on each person to bring their expertise in and to participate in the community and to help the people that we're trying to help. I mentioned before, like, when I was in Oshogbo, we went to Ede to visit the Baba Shango there. And the reason why we do that, right, is so that the Baba Shango lends his ashe and uses his expertise. And that further builds community. It forms ties and bonds between people. Because really, as a Babalawo, a person can rightfully invoke any Orisha. So Babalawo is capable of doing all Orisha work. But the Babalawos in Oshogbo usually involve the other Orisha priests in all the work. So it's like if Ifa says that we need to call on Shango for something, we need to make an offer to Ogun for something, they're going to try to involve an Ogun priest or Shango priest, or if it's something for Obatala. Matter of fact, the last time I was there, they were doing a couple of Obatala initiations. Rather than handle that themselves, they went and got a priest of Obatala from Oyo. They brought this man in from Oyo to handle these initiations. And his ashe, I mean, you could feel it when he walked in the place. And that initiation helped build stronger ties between Oshogbo and Oyo. So we're not only talking about building a spiritual community, but we're talking about building larger communities by bringing cities together. And we've got to really wrap our mind around that concept and recognize the magnitude of it. You know, it goes way beyond the individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're connecting to one another. We are building ties and bonds, and we are utilizing the ashe of all of these people. Like, nobody has all the ashe to make the best of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the individual has their own ashe that works in a certain way.
You know, Baba, I think, again, it has a lot to do with economy and money and how that is played out
in so-called Western culture as opposed to indigenous culture. Because I've noticed, again, even here, I think people forget, Louisiana is the second poorest state in America. Mississippi is number one. Louisiana is number two. Yet we manage to fund and produce entertainment. For some of us, it's religion, and for some of us, it's tradition and ritual and all that other stuff. But many people look at Carnival and Mardi Gras and Essence Festival and all the other things that we do here as entertainment. People take their vacations and come here to see, to look at the houses and to look at the architecture and to walk back in time and history. But they're not conscious of us who are living it every day. So, and when we think of Haiti and we think of Nigeria and we think of poverty and the places in the world where religion and ritual is being produced and put out at such a level as it is in the Sogbo, but then compare that to where the money is, you know, up north, the UK, you know, Japan, China, and you find a lessening of that sense of understanding about collective economics, you know, that my produce benefits the next person, benefits the next person, benefits the next person, and so on and so on. You know, they say the Jewish dollar passes through seven Jewish hands before it leaves their community. I would say the number would have to be the same, if not higher, in a Sogbo or in places where ritualized religion is being done to this degree and to this level. But when you get into this Western culture, me and mine, we start looking through their prism, bills, mortgage, rent, utilities. You know, it's very hard to do both things. I remember you talking the other day about the financial responsibility in making the trip. Mm-hmm. That's always been my excuse. You know, how am I ever going to afford to go to Africa? I don't own a car, but y'all want me to afford to go to Africa and pay for a ceremony and, you know, and many of us have been looking through that prism because we don't know any other prism to look through. And we see it in our financial crisis. You know, we think we have a grasp of money in America, but if we did, we'd be China. You know, we have savings accounts. You know, we would all be operating within our means. So there's a great degree of this that is psychological, that is mental, that is emotional, that is at that spiritual, subconscious level where we need to be able to reach and reach people in numbers so that we can begin to think more healthily and think more clearly and begin to move forward in doing what we need to do in terms of ourselves and in terms of complying with tradition.
Right, right. We've got to set our mind and spirit together and give ourselves the mindset and the place and spirit where we can have faith that things are going to work. And we need to put that energy out so that what we want materializes. You want to go to the motherland, you speak it into existence and believe it. And, you know, today you may not have two nickels to rub together, but when it's time to go to Africa, you will have the money. It'll be there. And, you know, this is something that, as I've said before, I know from personal experience. When I made up my mind that I was going to Africa, I couldn't stop money from coming in. anything I did was profitable. And I have never, ever seen that kind of cash flow come into my life before or since then. But it was just, it was time for it to happen. And I believed it. And I prayed on it. And it happened. Now, it didn't happen without any effort. I had to put effort into it, but my efforts paid off phenomenally. And I heard the same stories from Babalawos over in Nigeria. Now, these are people who are living poor lives. But when it was time for their initiation, the money came in. The money is coming, you know, hand over fist. It's like when it's time for it to happen, it happens. And then they can get their initiation or get whatever other ritual it is that they need to go through. If we believe it and we speak it and we act on it, it can happen. And if we are sincere,
and be open to the process. Because I think some people are listening to us right now and are still saying, okay, but how do I do that? How do I do that? And I know for me, this is a double effort. I've already paid for initiation. I went through this in the 80s in California. So I feel like I'm going back to move forward. I feel like I'm having to now repeat a step in order to move to the next level. But for me, just immersing myself in Orisha, you know, reach out to the Babalawos that you have access to. Reach out to the people in the community that you have access to. Stop using your Facebook to whine and complain and start holding some conversations with some of these people in Sokbo, in Nigeria, in Ghana, already Akan, already St. Goma. And you will begin to, and I think Baba just sort of talked about this, begin to share in that ashe, in that energy, and spirits will make a way out of no way for you to receive the things that you need. I see it every single day in my ministry. It's what I operate on.
And like
without that,
doing this spiritual mission tour that I'm beginning now, it's something that I wanted to do for a while, but I can't say that before I ever like committed my mind and spirit to it, regardless of what the finances looked like. Because previously, I always believed that I had to build up this financial cushion in order to allow me to do the things that I need to do. But I finally came to the reality of it, whereas things are never going to go right until I do what it is I'm supposed to do. And this is what I'm meant to do. If I'm doing what I am meant to do, all that I need to make it possible will come. So when I set out on this, I didn't have the money to make the travels. But I've been given the money to make the travels. And the thing is about traveling, as you travel, you're spending money. Because if I stay someplace for a while, I need to eat, I need to do laundry, need to get around, gas, buy gas for the car, that's not cheap at all. So the money that I'm taking in is constantly getting spent, and I have to keep up my phone. So as a matter of fact, I just renewed my phone plan yesterday. If I didn't have the money to do that, I would not be on this show today. But
you know, these are expenses that happen along the way, and still the money comes in. I'm doing a presentation and a lecture this Friday in Brooklyn. I know there'll be some income from that. So everything that I'm doing is paying off all the expenses. Excuse me? I didn't hear what you said.
Hello? You hear me?
Oh, Baba.
Yeah, I'm here.
You hear loud and clear.
Okay.
Welcome.
Okay, you hear me loud? Yeah, good.
Yeah, fine. Wow.
Fine. Yeah, I have a bad connection today. Yeah.
Yes, I noticed.
So can you... So I can hear what you have been saying, because I'm hungry like five minutes now, you know. And I'm just coming in from there. You know, our people, you know, they prefer to save money and take their money to travel, to Japan and all that, spending money on hotel, clothes and all that. But if you come home to your motherland, spending your money on your motherland, on your spiritual works, it will help you, help your children, help your family. You know, but it's good. Some people think that if you put money, whatever you put money in, make sure you put your money on something that's tangible, good things. Spiritual work is good. Protection money will come. You know, if you put your money and you want to do initiation, the money will come. You don't know where the money will come from, but the money will come.
Yes.
If you make your data initiation, you never lack money. You know, money will keep coming. You know, I make an initiation to Ifa, Oshun, Orisha, any Orisha that you wish. But I advise people to first have an initiation to Ifa, so that Ifa can lead you, Ifa can lead your way. So it's good for people to save money to come to Africa, come to your motherland and see your motherland, come for your spiritual work, come and see for initiation, then see your people. We are your people, we are here. Your people are here waiting for you guys. So it's good to come here, just save money, take your money to Japan. What you have in America, in Japan, in Europe, but different things are here in Africa. Like different things that you never see before in your entire life. New people, new community, new town, new street, new, you know, everything is new, what you never see before. You know, you see the animal that you never see before. You know, different things, it's good to learn. Travel abroad is part of education, it's part of it. If you travel abroad, see what is going on in Africa, in Nigeria, in Ghana, in Tanzania, Senegal, and all that. So, the way we run things over here is different. The way you run things in America. So, if you travel, come to Africa, you see, this is my people. You see how they welcome you. They will look at, they welcome me like a king, like a princess, you know, like a queen. Oh, welcome, because everybody feel like, whenever they see people from America, or black America, this is our family. They all know that it's our family. We are one. We are the same thing. So,
I totally agree with what you're saying, and I experienced that for myself. And, you know, people will really treat you like royalty when you come over there. And as a matter of fact, I had the opportunity last time I was there to meet the King of Ede. The King of Ede was very happy to receive me.
Yeah.
I was surprised. He's the king. I'm the one who's really flattered and humbled to be able to meet him. But the king said he was very happy to receive me, very happy to see me, very happy to have me at his palace. And to me, that was the most
offering thing ever. It was a shock, but the king is proud to have me in his home, and that was amazing. But
yes,
that's the kind of welcoming, that's the kind of treatment you get when you go there.
Yes. For example, people, take you to the palace, you see the king, you see the high chiefs. They say that, they welcome me because they know that we are one. It's my family. It's my brother.
Yeah.
My other mother. So that's our belief. So they will embrace you. Whenever people come here, they feel happy. Nobody criticizes you. No reason, nothing, because we are the same thing. So nobody will treat you. Anything you want to do in Africa, you're free to do it. Peaceful, everyone is peaceful, no earthquake, no flood, nothing. Everyone is fine. Everybody just moving, doing your day-to-day activities, and day-to-day work then. Come back home, enjoy yourself. So it's cool. It's just 2 weeks. 2 weeks, 6 months. If you want to say a year in Nigeria, you are welcome. You are welcome. If you want to build house here, you are welcome. You will build your own house. Nobody will say, no mortgage. If you have money, you build your own house. It's a house forever. Government will not come, say, okay, come. Government will not come for your house next year. No. If you buy, what you need to do is just to buy a land, piece of a land. If you buy land, you can build mansions, duplex, anything on your land. Then you own your house. If you are travel back to America and lock the house, go, call back later, your house is there. Your house is there. So, you can come back, come home, come and invest. Invest here, business. It's cool, it's moving. It's moving. People will patronize you. It's cool. Tell our people, come home and see. Don't let them tell you what is going on in Africa. Come and see for yourself. The place that, we are here now. Those that know me, we are here, we are fine. We are here now, we are fine. Everybody come to America, see America, and then come back home. This is my home. This is your home. This is your home. Africa is your home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. I know if you come here, your sleep will be different. You sleep really good. Really, very good. If you have a kid, you see some people that will take out a kid for you. You can travel, your kid is safe when you come back. Oh, but then you can't leave your kid to anybody. You can't go, if you have a kid, a month or two, you go back to work. No, yes. You can give your kid to anybody, they take care of your kid before you come back. Everybody, we are treated ourselves as a family. So we see you today, you are a family. We are a family. We treat you well. You are safe. Nothing will happen to you. Nobody will come to you. Nobody will show you gone. You never see gone. You are here. Nobody will rob you. You're free. You are free to come to Nigeria. Free to call me. To anybody that you know Nigeria. You want to come, just come and visit.
Yes, Baba. I talked to Naomi Zulu on Sunday. That was the lighter skinned sister that was there with Fable, and she's still talking about how well she was treated, and how smoothly the process went. Even though there were so many people involved, she was just really amazed at the efficiency of how things were done and how everyone had a role. Excuse me, in the process. And that it's something that she'll never, ever forget. So she also suggested that I hurry up and go. And if I want to confirm what everyone is saying about Asogbo, particularly Asogbo. Now, I don't know a whole lot about anywhere else in Nigeria, but from what I'm hearing, learning about Asogbo, it seems to be a wonderful place to go and learn and receive religion.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it really,
well, Cebu when she was here, in September, September last year. You know, that's our first time. Come to Nigeria. She was like, wow, this is amazing. Because, you know, she's like, oh, you know, it'd be me on Cebu walking in the street. People don't know different whether she come from America or not. No. Only the way that she speak, no. So everybody, you know, hi, how are you? You go, you know, we go to a bar, we're like, oh, talking to her. Everybody, you know, we see, you know, the same table. Then people that people that I never seen before, they come, talk to her, oh, how are you? You know, this. And everybody's like, ah, wow. That's how we are here. We see people from there. We believe that this is our family. It's our friends. So they will treat you well. It's like, wow, this is amazing. I can't wait to come back this year. She's coming back this year. So it's the same thing. It's applicable for everybody. When you first come here, don't get nervous. Just feel at home. Nigeria is cool. People here are friendly. People here are nice. You know,
Papa,
I remember when,
can interrupt you for a second. Previously, I was talking about how the different Orisha priests work together and how the Bible allows include Orisha priests in the work. But I wonder if you could speak on that a little bit to tell our listeners about how the priests work together, you know, from your perspective, with you being a native of Oshogbo.
Yes. You know, over here in Oshogbo, we have Babalawo, we have Osun priest, we have Sango priest, we have Ogun, you know, and all. So if anybody come to me, it's okay, you want to receive Sango, there's a good priest. That is basically based on Sango. That's the people I will invite to come. So we have one temple that we all worship every Saturday. So we have a very, very good relationship together. So if I have someone that says, okay, you want to receive Sango now, I have Sango, please, I will call. Okay, Baba Sango, someone is coming to receive Sango. So he will come to my house. Or we can go to his house, he will do Shango for that person. So he will do it, he will do initiation for Shango, he will do Shango initiation for that person. If it's Obatala, some Obatala priests that are there, we will invite them, come over. They will do, they will come and initiate it to Obatala in the right way, in a good order. Only person, you can't be a full man. You know, if you say you know it, no. If I say I know Obatala, I'm a Obatala priest, I'm a Balawo, but I have to invite Obatala priest because, first of all, put a share on your head.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
So we have a very, very good relationship together doing initiation. Even when I'm doing Iba initiation, Ogun initiation, I'm Ogun. Ogun initiation, I call people, not only in Oshogbo, around the Shogo, Ede, Ibadan, Eko, Ilerijo, and those two and other, to come. So not only one person, we do the initiation for you. No, you can't. Not only one person. We are many. You know, people, everybody will bring the idea. Okay, this is how we do it. This is how, okay, let's add this one to it. Or let's do this one. And so to make it good and nice. So we have a very, very good very, very good relationship together. All the traditionalists in Osun State, generally in Nigeria, because there's a meeting used to held in our house every month. So the World Osa Congress, So there's an organization that we are one, everybody together. Whenever we are doing festival, we will invite people from Ivana, they will come over. Ogun priest, Ifa, Shango, Yemaja, Oshun, all that they will come together, people will dance. Obatala priest will come out, they will dance, Obatala dancing, Ogun priest will come, Ogun dancing, Shall go to come, shall go dancing, and all that. When Shago Prince brings his own festival, we all go there to support him, to dance with him, to rejoice with him. So, in our community, we are a community, or it's a community that's very, very grow now in Oshogbo, very, very now. We are growing, growing, because we are here long, long ago. So everybody knows us. So Oshogbo, you know, we know that Oshogbo is a place of tahiralis. Because everything, Oshogbo, Oshun State. So our state is Oshun State. So Oshun, during Oshun Festival, we all see in the television and all that, everybody, you know, come together and rejoice. We make festival every day. Every day here in Oshogbo is a festival. So we have, I'm not doing my festival, and that person will do his own festival. This weekend, that's a festival that is coming. The same thing next weekend. So we have a very, very good relationship together. Whenever we are doing initiation, if you come, you want to receive a batala, or that priest will come over. They will do initiation for you. We dance. We eat. We drink. We dance, we rejoice, everybody happy, you know. So, it's very, 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 very good relationship, everybody together, everybody. Because every Saturday, everybody used to come together at the temple, it didn't like a temple in Oshogbo. You know, if it's, and each Saturday can be Obatala Day. Can be Oshobatala, can be Obosala week, or Ifa week, or Ogun week. If it is Ifa week, we call Obalawa outside to make a prayer for us on Ifa. So if it is Ogun week, we call Ogun priest to chant Ijala for us, Ijala for us, then pray for us in Ogun. So if it is Oshun, we call Oshun priest, he has to come outside to pray for us on Oshun. You use also to pray, to bless everybody. So, shall go too. So that's how we do it every Saturday at our temple in Oshogbo. So we all gather together. Either you are Babalawo, shall go priest, Oshun priest, Ifa priest, Ogun priest, Yemaja priest, all the Orisha, every Saturday we gather together to worship our ancestors. To worship our ancestors, we call all of them. We make homage to Baba, everybody. So we make homage, we call all Orisha to come down. We call them, they will arrive, they will come down. So everybody make a prayer, we dance. You know, we dance, we do all that, we pray. So every week. So we see everybody, we see each other every week, every day. We see each other every day, every week. Every Saturday we see each other. So it's a very, very good issue. Yes, you. It all.
Very good. Very good. We certainly appreciate that. And of course, we appreciate you and your time. And we would most certainly invite you to join us again next Wednesday, 7 o'clock your time and 12 o'clock our time. Hopefully, we won't have as many problems with the phone line. But we have come to the end of our show, and we certainly appreciate you and Oshogbo for being present for us and for Ifa.
Yeah. So for everybody, anybody that you want to contact me, can contact me through my Facebook or my email. Email is iagj@yahoo.com. A for Apple. Y for you, E for elephant, J for job, I for independence, J for job, E for elephant, @yahoo.com. So you can ask Divine, my number, my Facebook account, so you can reach me there. So we talk on phone, on email, internet, whatever. So any question you want to ask or ask me, we'll tell you. So if you want to come to Nigeria, you're all welcome to come. Everybody welcome to stay in my house. It's free. No money. It's free to stay in my house. Free. So I greet everybody. Divine, you are good. That's okay. I can borrow a boy. But if I will continue to bless you all. Oh, double.
Oh, double.
Hey, hey, Ellie, my head, so me had a comeback again with the new style. Le, 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 le. Hey, 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 every time I see you, I just fall in love. You do me, do me, do me, do me, eh, eh. Like say I don't dey go low. You do me, do me, do me, do me, eh, eh. Like say I don't dey go low. Early man, they give you the reason. Your love, they give me the season. This time, na so so wahala. Baby girl, they give me the fever. Baby girl, can I have your number so that we can see the club together? Make us feel you. Make you feel me. Wine, wine, dance, dance. At the club, night, night. Baby girl, can I have your number? Come on, show gacha for me. Yawo me, yawo me, yawo me. Every time I see you, I just fall in love. You see, yawo me, yawo me, yawo me. Every time I see you, I just fall in love. You do me, do me, do me, do me, eh, eh. Like say I don't dey go low. You do me, do me, do me, do me, eh, eh. Like say I don't dey go low. Ma ja yori mi, ma ja yori mi. Ama show up ade, ka jo sad loku. Yawo me, yawo me, yawo me. Every time I see you, I just fall in love. You see, yawo me, yawo me, yawo me. Every time I see you, I just fall in love. You do me, do me, do me, do me, eh, eh. Like say I don't dey go low. You do me. Mama, na one by one we dey go. Mama, na me and you na today. Mama, jaja your love back at the shaye. Mama, mo dey ma dey ba dele. Eli man don't come again now. Eli man don't come again now. Hey, now when you na dey find Baba, don't do it for me. Yawo me, yawo me, yawo me. Every time I see you, I dey fall in love. You see, yawo me, yawo me, yawo me. Every time I see you, I dey fall in love. You do me, do me, do me, do me, eh, eh. Like say I don't dey go low.